When Sargon II goes around and captures Ashdod, Isaiah goes naked and barefoot for 3 years as a sign against Egypt and Cush. Sargon II will take control of both Egypt and Cush for Assyria. Meroadoc is the ruler of the Babylonian area under Assyrian control, and he comes to make a visit to Hezekiah. And he asks to see the treasury, and Hezekiah agrees. After it happens, Isaiah asks Hezekiah, "What have you done?" When he tells Isaiah, the prophet responds by telling him that the Lord is not pleased. Isaiah tells him that Babylon will take all the treasury with the people to Babylon one day because Hezekiah has let him see it. Now Hezekiah misunderstands, and he's pleased because he thinks that there will be peace in the kingdom for the rest of his life. In 712 BC, Sargon II attacks Merodach down in the Babylonian area, and he makes his son, the crowned prince Sennacherib, ruler of the area and the co-ruler of Assyria. And in that year, Sennacherib attacks the southern kingdom and captures a few of the cities. Hezekiah bends to Sennacherib's demands, and he begins paying him 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. He has to rob the temple of its gold to satisfy the demand of Sennacherib. And after the payment is made to Sennacherib, he moves to attack Jerusalem anyway. Eliakim, the high priest, meets Sennacherib at the tunnel of the upper pool. He mocks Hezekiah and his god, thinking that since Hezekiah has taken down all the altars of his god, that they will not help him. The Ethiopian king of Egypt is just a limp reed, and he can't do anything because Assyria controls him. He cannot help Hezekiah fight against Sennacherib. And Sennacherib claims that God has sent him to capture Jerusalem. He tells the people not to listen to Hezekiah's promise that his God will save them. When Eliakim tells Hezekiah the message, Hezekiah enters the temple and he cries out to the Lord. He sends Eliakim and others to speak with Isaiah. Isaiah tells them not to be afraid because the Lord will send a delusion on Sennacherib and the Lord will defend the city. Sennacherib will not fire an arrow against the city, Isaiah says. He says the Lord will put a hook in his nose and drag him back to his home country. Well, that night, the angel of the Lord kills 185,000 Assyrians. Sennacherib returns to live in Nineveh only to be killed. His son, Esarhaddon, becomes the king of Assyria after his death. With the threat of Sennacherib gone, Isaiah says, "Listen, you righteous, look to the rock, to Abraham, the one the Lord called when he was one. The Lord will comfort Zion, he will judge the people. Look, the skies will vanish and the earth will wear out, but salvation is eternal. He dried the seas to allow the redeemed to cross over, and even though Israel has forgotten the Lord, he will redeem Israel because they are his people." The Lord goes on to say through Isaiah, "Declare the sin of my people like a trumpet. They ask why the Lord does not see and answer their fast. It is because they do not do it for the Lord. Take care of the widows, he says. Take care of the poor. Take care of the orphans instead of fasting. Then when you call, I will hear and I will answer, and your light will rise and you will be like a watered garden. You will be called the repairman of the breach." Continuing on, the Lord says through Isaiah, "Your sin has made the separation with God, so he will not hear. You lie and hatch iniquity. Your paths are crooked, groping like blind or dead men far from salvation. Truth is lagging. There is no justice because there is no one to intercede. He put on armor to redeem and to come to Zion. Here is my covenant, O people. My words will not depart." The Lord continues to speak through Isaiah by saying, For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not keep quiet, until her righteousness goes forth like brightness, and her salvation like a torch that is burning. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory, and you will be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord will designate. You will also be crowned with beauty in the land of the Lord, and a diadem in the hand of your God. It will no longer be said of you, forsaken, or to your land will it any longer be said, desolate. But you will be called, my delight is in her, and your land, Beulah, married. For the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves, and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by his strong hand, saying, I will never again give your grain as food for your enemies, nor will foreigners drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who garner it will eat it, and the praise of the Lord will be theirs, and those who gather it will drink it in the courts of my sanctuary. Go through the gates, clear the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones, lift up a standard over the people. Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to the daughters of Zion, lo, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. And they will call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Micah found nothing good in Israel. The rulers, the judges, the great men, the husbands, the women, the sons, the daughters, can all be compared to thorn bushes at best. None can be trusted, no, not one. And Micah cannot find a single soul other than himself in a right relationship with God. He feared nothing, and he looked intently for salvation from the Lord to carry him on to the place of peaceful rest. His physical death will not last forever. He will rise again one day as physical death disappears in the light of the Lord. The Lord knew Micah's faults, but he also knew his righteousness. So Micah watches expectantly for the Lord in the next few days. The southern kingdom has become the enemy of Micah. She will one day be trampled down in the mud of the streets, he says. The southern kingdom will have to face Assyria, Egypt, and nations from sea to sea and from mountain to mountain. Micah's message ends with his personal prayer to God on behalf of the people. He knows the outcome because he knows the promise of an unchanging, compassionate shepherd. Israel will be returned to the beautiful land of Bashan and Gilead one day, and nations will bow to Israel as the premier nation of the Lord. God will pardon the sins of Israel and mold them into a great and mighty, upright and godly, righteous and holy people, all of which will have to wait for the time of the last days. When Micah finishes the words of his prophecy and he lays down his pen, his days on earth are numbered and he will die as a martyr. 8 kings will serve the south along with the 7 prophets that he told us about. Then the Lord will send a Babylonian to remove them from the land. No Jewish king of the Davidic line will sit on the throne again until the Lord sits on his throne there in the last days. For some reason, which we do not know, Hezekiah makes the decision to put Micah to death. And although he may be dead, like Amos and Hosea and Joel, and even in a short time, Isaiah, his message will continue to be fulfilled for hundreds of years in the future. When Hezekiah becomes deathly ill, Isaiah the prophet tells him to get his last details in order because he is going to die. Isaiah leaves and Hezekiah cries out to the Lord, and the Lord hears his prayer. The Lord tells Isaiah, go back to Hezekiah to the house and tell Hezekiah that he will live 15 more years. and that the Lord will protect him from the Assyrians. To heal Hezekiah, Isaiah places a fig cake on the infected boil, and Hezekiah says, "How will I know that I am healed?" Isaiah replies, "On the third day you will go up to the house of the Lord." "How will I know that that will happen?" Hezekiah asks. Isaiah tells him that the Lord will cause the sun to go back up the steps, 10 steps, to prove his promise. And sure enough, when Hezekiah goes up to the house of the Lord, the sun goes back, and Hezekiah sees the sun go up 10 steps that day. Isaiah warns Hezekiah that after his days as king or over in the southern kingdom, that kingdom will be captured by the king of Babylon, and they will go into exile. At the end of 15 years, Hezekiah dies, and his son Manasseh becomes king. Manasseh is evil, and he rules for 55 years. What his father tore down, Manasseh rebuilt, including all the idols and the places of high worship of false gods. The Lord speaks through the prophets to Manasseh, warning him of his abominations, but he does not listen. In fact, Manasseh kills many of the innocent people in his day, and he forces the people to sin. With Manasseh's reign as king, we hear nothing of Isaiah again, except his prophecies will go on to be fulfilled for hundreds of years in the future. At the death of Manasseh, his son Amon becomes king. Like his father, he is evil, and he rules for only 2 years. His own family cannot stand him, and they kill him. With Ammon's murder, they place his 8-year-old son Josiah on the throne, and he is a good king, and he rules for 31 years, starting in 640 B.C. Now, in the 8th year of Josiah's reign, at the age of 16, he begins to seek God. And in the 12th year of Josiah's reign, at the age of 20, Josiah begins to purge Judah and Jerusalem of all the high places, of the Asherim and the carved images and the molten images. And he tears down all the altars of Baal that are in his presence, and the incense altars that are high above them, he chops them down. And the carved images and the molten images, he breaks into pieces and he grounds them into powder and he scatters them on the ground of those who had once sacrificed to them. He burned the bones of the priest of those altars and he purged Judah and Jerusalem. And in the cities of Manasseh and the cities of Ephraim and of Simeon, even as far as Naphtali and in their surrounding areas, he chops down the altars, he grinds them into powder, and he spreads them throughout the land of fallen Israel. And then he returns back to Jerusalem. Now in Josiah's 13th year as king, at the age of 21, Jeremiah begins his ministry, and it will continue until 5 months after the fall of the southern kingdom in 586 B.C. The Jews have been without a prophet, the likes of Jeremiah, since the death of Isaiah about 60 years before. Now the Lord says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." To which Jeremiah replies, "Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, but I am just a youth." And the Lord says, "Do not say, 'I am a youth,' because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you to say, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And behold, I have put my words in your mouth, that you may speak them." "What do you see, Jeremiah?" And Jeremiah says, "I see a rod of an almond tree." The Lord says, "Jeremiah, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." Once again, the Lord says, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" And Jeremiah says, "I see a boiling pot facing away from the north." The Lord says, "You're right. Out of the north the evil will break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdom of the north, and they will come, and they will set each one his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all of the walls around and about, and against all the cities of Judah. I will pronounce my judgment on them concerning all their wickedness, whereby they have forsaken me, and have offered sacrifices to other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Now gird up your loins, and arise, and speak to them all which I command you. Now behold, I have made you today as a fortified city, and as a pillar of iron, and as walls of bronze against the whole land, to the kings of Judah, to its princesses, to its priests, and to the people of the land. And although they will fight against you, they will not overcome you, for I am with you, and I will be there to deliver you, says the Lord. So the Lord tells Jeremiah, go and proclaim in the ears of Jerusalem, saying to all the people, the Lord says, I remember concerning you the devotion of your youth, and the love of your betrothals, your following after me in the wilderness, and through a land not sown. Israel was a holy place and a holy nation to the Lord. They were the first of his harvest. Anyone who came against them, he protected them from those people, bringing evil upon them. But along the way, the people began to transgress against the Lord. Prophets began prophesying to Baal and to the Asherim. And therefore the Lord is now contending with the kingdom. The Lord is now contending with the sons of Judah. And the Lord says, be appalled, O heavens, at this, and shudder, be very desolate, declares the Lord, for my people have committed two sins. For they have forsaken me, the living fountain of water, to hewn out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. But now what are you doing on the road to Egypt, he asked them, to drink the waters of the Nile? And what are you doing on the road to Assyria, he asked, to drink the waters of the Euphrates? Judah, your own wickedness will correct you, and your apostasies will reprove you. Know therefore and see that you are evil and bitter, for you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the dread of me is not in you. Judah, long ago I broke your yoke, and I tore off your bonds. But you have said, I will not serve you. For on every high hill and under every green tree you have lain down as a harlot. Why do you contend with me? You have all transgressed against me, says the Lord. In vain I struck your sons, and they accepted no chastising, and your sword has devoured your prophets like destroying lions. O generation, heed the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel, or a land of thick darkness? Why do my people say, we are free to roam? We will no longer come to you. Yet you say, I am innocent. Surely his anger is turned away from me. Behold, I will enter into judgment with you because you say, I have not sinned. Why do you go around so much, changing all your ways? Also, you will be put to shame by Egypt, as you were put to shame by Assyria. From this place also you will go out with your hands on your head, for the Lord has rejected those in whom you trust, and you will not prosper with them. Soon after Jeremiah begins to prophesy for the Lord in the days of Josiah, Zephaniah also begins his ministry. He prophesies to Judah and to Jerusalem, as well as Gaza, Ashkelon, Ekron, Ethiopia, Assyria, Moab, and Ammon, as well as the inhabitants of the seacoast and the nations of the Cherethites and the land of the Philistines. But Zephaniah's prophecies look far into the future, to the final return of the Lord and to his dealings with his people during the 7 years just before his second coming. So that is where we will dig into his message. In Josiah's 18th year as king, the temple needs repairs. Josiah is 26 years old, and he sends Hilkiah to count the money and to hire the workers. In the cleanup of the temple, the book of the law is found, and Hilkiah reads it. He gives it to Shaphan, who reads it to Josiah, and the king realizes that they are a sinful nation, and the Lord's wrath is about to come on them. Josiah reinstalls the Passover exactly as set out in the book of the law. And even with all the effort, the Lord will still remove the southern kingdom and put it in exile. He is still upset with the people for following the evil king Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, during Manasseh's 55 years on the throne.